A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama drama that is centered in Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am the calm and productive partners meeting, that is Royfield Brown, and with me at this shrieking bun fight, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of the home farm breakdown, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum comes from the future hosts of Dumpty Dum, Sheila and Bernie McGuire. Luce. Right. Now, they're kind of all manner of awesome folks, and you will hear how awesome they are when they actually do their caller inner a bit. Because I think Lucy and I are now officially redundant. So what are you going to do the rest of your life, Lucy?
I don't know, really. I'll probably do some gardening or something. I'm not sure.
Awesome. I think I'll join you, pottering around in my back lawn too. Lucy, but if somebody wants to send us in a dum-de-dum, how can they do it? And oh, by the way, everybody, thank you for sending in dum-de-dums this week. Thank you, Claire Asprey. And Lucy, guess what?
What?
There was a little mini meetup in Toronto yesterday.
I was there.
Yeah, we celebrated Canada Day, and there was me, Victoria Littler, there was Mary Not Contrary, Ashok, their little hashtag Canadian, and then there was Sue Yin. Oh, do you remember? There was all that, we had that lovely email about the lady from Malaysia who fell in love with Britain and the Archers, and a friend just passed away.
Yes.
She was there too, and I met her hubby, Dave. Yeah, Dave's lovely. And it was all just rather nice.
Aww.
So thank you for coming to the little Toronto mini meetup, everybody. But anyway, sorry, I got off track there, Lucy. Someone wants to send us in a dum dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or not consider the possibility that someone working on their CV might mean that they were looking for another job. Right. Call us on 0203 031 3105. Or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek Thorne in the back bedroom. Derek has sadly been disqualified from judging the performing pets competition, as he asked Neville Booth if he could have a stroke of his bearded dragon.
There's a rather good call about judging pet competitions. Later, isn't there? We've got lovely calls this week.
We have.
Right. And we've got lovely calls from the McGuire sisters. We have kind of tipped you the wink about that before, good listener, because they're pretty good. Claire from Clapham is back with a spoon, with some sage advice, and Rachel. But first, before all the caller inners, let's brace ourselves for our Lucy B. Freeman and a week in Ambridge.
Nobody wants to play with Cheesy Helen. People are cancelling these boxes left, right and centre. Word has spread throughout Borsetshire that this is the single most boring afternoon you can spend, being lectured by a patronising windbag on lactic acid, while a strange woman in a tabard keeps bobbing up and down shouting about being a manager. Pat has suddenly realised that property developers don't always tell the truth. Who would have thought? David is very cross because Josh has bought lots of machinery, including what appears to be a Polaris. I mean, I can see why David's a bit hacked off if Josh has been buying decommissioned nuclear missiles, because the resale value is terrible and it would take up loads of room in the yard. But why is David consumed with such savage hatred for his elder son? I mean, I know fathers and sons can get a little bit D.H. Lawrence, but if it was up to David, it'd be like one of those tribes when they leave the teenagers on a snake-infested island to toughen them up. I hope we all survived the horrendous rain. No one flooded out? What do you mean, hosepipe ban? Were you not listening to the rain and the warning of the rain and the storm and the warning of the storm and the dripping coats? So, farewell, Anisha. I would like to say it was fun. But I can't, because it wasn't really. Not after you took that horse's eye out. Anisha had been to stay with her friends Dildo and Sam and did a job interview. Now, let's just get this straight. Getting asked to be a partner in a vet practice is a huge deal. Huge. But apparently, you can just chuck it up in a heartbeat if you fancy going somewhere else where you'll just be an employee again. Just because there happens to be a lot of horses at that place. Anyway, she decided to tell Alistair while he was trying to restrain a foal that was frothing at the mouth. He immediately joined Fathers for Justice and chucked all his toys about. The horse needs diazepam, and so did we. Oop. Sorry, lost my place. This week's weird moments. Jenny Darling would not say cutlery, she'd say knives and forks, and she wouldn't say dessert, she'd say pudding. And since when has Lindy Bottom bought birthday presents for Phoebe? Thanking you. Susan, flushed with importance and Neil's income, has become Lady Bountiful and is chucking the 20s around like a sales manager in Spearmint Rhino. They're giving money to Emma for the deposit, to Chris for Alice's drying out spell in the Priory. Sorry, just leaping ahead a bit there. But of course, because Emma has the surname Grundy, she's gone from having the house but no deposit to having the deposit and no house. It's worrying when you find yourself having sympathy with Kate, but nevertheless, I did. Just like hearing Alistair ticking Shula off for parking in the wrong place made me switch sides immediately to Team Shula. Hearing Brian and Adam going, ha, 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 let's not answer her call, silly little girl, made me hope that Kate is going to single-handedly bring down Home Farm like some kind of vegan Khaleesi. Phoebe and Jenny Darling spent an inordinate amount of time doing something in the yurts to make them better, but I couldn't actually establish what. One minute they were polishing wind chimes, then they were making beds and then pegging roses up. Spiritual home sounds like home base. It's baffling. It all then got a bit Julian Clary as Brian said he was desperate for a large black one and David said, I don't think it's worth my while entering a sheep. Oh, God. And obviously we have a new Z-list celebrity to open the fate. Francesca Lockhart, another character that will appear and disappear in the space of 5 minutes. Village fates do not need opening. They just sort of start, but I'm not going through that again. Now, regular listeners may know that I enjoy playing Cupid. It's just a little sideline, but I like it, and I've had some successes. I have spied a couple in Ambridge, and I know I'm not the only one, who are just made for each other. Bear with me here. Tom is one of them. He does not seem to be getting very far with Hannah. Krusty's dropped him like a mouldy leek, so I think he should turn to Helen. Perfect couple. Hey. Both obsessed with lactose, never happier than when they're writing marketing plans that no one except the other one will ever read. Both irritatingly gung-ho and enthusiastic when telling people to buck up about their troubles, but when something happens to them, they're completely devastated. They're never going to find anyone like each other. I mean, it might make for a confusing Christmas card list, and any children would be a bit odd. But you know, this is Ambridge. They'd blend in. The end.
I don't know about Tom and Helen getting it on. You know, there are laws and like cultural opprobrium like against all of that kind of malarkey, and that it's wrong, Lucy, it's wrong.
But don't you think though, they're both so boring and so odd, they're the only people that the other one would get on with. The way they talk, you know, in that weird way that David and Pip used to talk that was almost a bit flirty. It's they talk to each other in that way. It's really odd.
I never got the David and Pip flirt thing.
Didn't you?
No.
I know other people did because I've read it.
But you people seem to see an awful lot into quite innocent things.
No.
Yes, you do.
That's what this sodding podcast is built on, Royfield.
Fair enough. Though, I think you're spot on the money with David and Josh. David doesn't really like Josh, does he?
But he really doesn't.
He just.
Do you think it's just a getting older thing?
I it's a getting older thing, but also that...
You don't dislike Noah, do you?
No. Listen, not at all. But it's also that Josh is entrepreneurial and he's a corner cutter. And he's presupposing things all the time. So, yeah, I'm just going to whack the stuff,
you don't mind, do you, after he's done it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Irritating David. And, you know, look at the relationship that David had with his father. You know, that yes, there was the odd bump in the road, but fundamentally he was learning at his father's knee. And Josh is not doing that. Pip does that, but Josh doesn't. Josh doesn't come to his father for advice, and that rankles and irks David.
Yes, that's true. That is very true.
Yes. But I'm loving Kate. Loving Kate. Getting her stuff together. Though, where was she on Phoebe's birthday? What was that all about?
She did turn up eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, but she was seeing solicitors, wasn't she?
But come on, though, right? But anyway, I think that's just to show us that even though there's this whole thing about her not being taken seriously, that there is still enough of old Kate around, even though she can, on occasion, you know, pull the rug from underneath people and actually have, you know, a spine of steel, so to speak. How's your chest loose?
It's all right.
Is it? How long have you had this chesty cough now?
2 weeks.
Really?
Getting a bit boring now.
Absolutely. No. So we've done David and Josh. Now, everybody seems to be gunning for... Anyway, I was going to talk about Anisha and Alistair, but let's not do that because I know that a Corinna takes...
I think all of them have.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, have we got anything else to prattle on about, or should we go straight to Corinna's?
I think Corinna's.
Awesome.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first in our Lucy?
Claire Asprey.
Ooh, okay then.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. I'm not going to say much about the potential loss of the affordable housing on the Elliottville development. Suffice to say, I'm watching this one like a hawk, and watch me on Twitter on that subject. I do want to talk about... a slightly complicated plot prediction based on things that happened this week. So we know Neil doesn't really enjoy being the manager of the pig unit, although Susan obviously loves it. Now we know that Anisha's asked Rex to move to Newmarket. Toby's started to be Toby again. And so here's my prediction, that Neil will get really depressed about being the pig unit manager. Rex will start making plans to leave town with Anisha. Neil will see the opportunity to buy his pigs back and go back to being a simple pig man, much to Susan's disgust and Emma's distress because she won't be able to afford a house anymore. So Rex will sell the pigs on to Neil or back to Neil. But in the meantime, something will happen just before they're set to go to Newmarket, whereby Pip will go into labour or something. Rex will run to the rescue because Toby's off having some dalliance with Kate or other crazy caper. And then Rex will end up with Pip. Anisha will go away on her own. Alistair will continue to be upset. And Neil will go back to being a simple pig man, and someone else will sweep in and be the manager of the pig unit. Presumably not Rob, but wouldn't that be an interesting twist? Anyway, keep up the good work. Speak to you soon.
Claire, I am leaving the housing stock issue to you. You know what you're talking about. I do not. But it does seem very hard on poor Emma. I just wanted to get a house. If I could just write a check and send it to Radio 4, then I would do that to make sure that Emma got a house, because it's just getting a little bit much. Now, the Rex predictions. What we're seeing a lot of on the Twitters is the idea that, you know, there's that soap opera trope that the person that should have been, if you see what I mean, the father of your child, actually delivers the child because the feckless real father isn't there. He's doing whatever he shouldn't be doing that made him not be the ideal choice in the first place, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think the jury has decided that Toby is going to be off doing something ludicrous, like shagging some gin on a bouncy castle. And
that's
Rex...
exactly what I was going to say.
What?
I was going to say that. He's going to be medicinal gin whilst on a bouncy castle.
Yeah. What's
that called again? That was in the pool.
Oh, the rattle powder.
There you go. What's having rattle powder in a pool?
And then Rex will deliver the baby, and it will all be very kind of.
But that's too.
Oh, I can't leave you because he won't leave. And anyway, what the hell is he going to do with all those pigs? He's got about 80 billion pigs. What's going to happen to them when he goes to bloody Newmarket? Which he's not going,
going
to.
There, is he?
Can't go.
This, I just have Kerry Davis ringing in my ears now about there being actually too many characters in The Archers. Because if Anisha toddles off, it is literally going to be, what was the point of Anisha?
Yeah.
Her only point can have been to give Alistair some sense of false hope that, you know, his business was secure and just to back him up. And Rex is then just collateral damage. Because she's come into the village, they had to create another connection for her. Because this is going to be literally one of the most pointless character introductions and then exits. Because she was never really in it. You know, the mother or... Was it a mother that was sick up in Glasgow? I can't remember now. Then died?
So I can't remember a parent. I don't remember which.
Exactly. So she was hardly ever in it. And Kate,
that's because she's filming Holby City or something, isn't it?
But it's... But they managed to fit in Helen around Coronation Street. So where there's a will, there's a way.
That's true.
Where there is a will, there is a way. But yes, so... If she toddles off, it's going to be, what was the point of all of that? Because, anyway, I was going to come on to the her leaving the partnership, but I note there is a caller in who talks. Why don't we go on to that caller in, Lucy, because there's a caller in that talks about that.
About Anisha?
Yeah.
Yes. Rachel Thomas.
Ooh. Mm.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's ludicrous, again, because there's that ridiculous situation where no one's going to go and see a solicitor about this until after it's all gone wrong. You know, she signed this huge, great contract. There was a massive palaver about, what?
I said, I'm okay.
About signing the contract, about getting it checked over, about the heads of agreement, and da-da-da-da-da, yes, okay, then I will sign it. Hooray, hooray, hooray. It was a huge, and then like 3 months later, see ya, I'm off. It's just nuts. It's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
My friend is a vet, and it took her 2 years of negotiations to get made a partner. And there is no way on this. I think she would rather cut off a limb than go back to being an employee again. I mean, it just, whatever she was offered, you know, it's a big, big deal. It's what you kind of do all the crappy stuff for, to finally have that.
Yeah, no, it absolutely.
You know, it just.
To have the...
It'd be like a doctor renouncing a consultancy and saying, okay, I don't want to be a consultant surgeon. I want to go back to being a, you know, to working in A&E or something. It's just nonsense. Utter cobblers.
Yeah, you're completely right. There is the financial outlay as well as the, you know, the professional step up, or dare I say step down. It doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. And we don't often knock our script writers, but I think this is just shoddy. Like,
Do you think it was a sudden thing? Do you think she said, look, I can't fit this in with everything else, and they had to get rid of her quickly?
But what would have made more sense was for them to invent another close relative that was really sick, and she just had to go and tend to them.
But she's got Florence Sodding Nightingale. How many ill relatives can you have?
Kind of is, because she's a vet. So she kind of, you know, does like to laugh. So, but
as long as they stand on all fours, she knows where everything is. It's fine, yes.
But if they'd have said, right, she needs to go back up to Glasgow and to tend to somebody, but like Alistair, you know, keep this kind of open for me, but then just kind of run that bit of the storyline down. And they could have just mentioned her in passing. Oh, you know, Anisha did a fall in Loxley Barrett last night, blah, blah, blah. But this is all very bizarre, all very bizarre.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like, you know, introduce somebody, fanfare, she played cricket, she tricked everybody with a drinking game. You know, she's got Rex all kind of excited and then she's gone. What for?
Yeah.
What for, script writers? So, yeah. Bollocks.
Bollocks. I spy with my little eye something beginning with B and ending in ollocks. Can we have Sheila and Bernie Maguire now, please?
Right. As you said, folks, you're now listening to the future presenters of Dumby Dum. Take it away, sisters.
Hi, Lucy and Royfield. Hello, you two.
Hi. This is Bernie and Sheila Maguire, Bernie Mag and Sheila _ Maguire on the Twitters, calling from Brooklyn, New York.
We are first-time caller-innerers, but long-time lurker-innerers. And I, Bernie, was actually a Dumpty Dum accolade of the weekerer right back many years ago, a few years ago, at Dumpty Dum number 2 or 3.
We are sisters, and we remember the Archers being a constant background to our childhood, and it's hard to say when we actually started paying attention. But we decided to call you, as Bernie lives in Spain and is visiting me here in New York. We have a plot prediction. It's about Tom and Kirsty. We think that Kirsty hates Tom a little bit too much not to still be holding a candle for him. So we think they might get back together again.
Yes, maybe they'll have another one-night stand, which Tom perhaps reveals to Philip in the tea room at some point, let's say. A fight then ensues, meaning that Fallon has to provide a new set of upcycled chinaware, which could lead to all kinds of plot developments. I actually hate Philip and don't trust him, but Sheila quite likes him because of his lovely Welsh accent. But we both love Kirsty and want the best for her.
So we're really looking forward to calling more often and perhaps getting together with Witherspoon, New York Nigel and the rest of the New York community at some point. Oh, and we'd like to suggest a new section for Dumpty Dum community in general. And maybe we could be the section secretaries, Dumpty Dum siblings.
Or just Dumpty siblings, maybe.
As in Dumpty Dumpty siblings.
Something like that. So, bye for now and
keep up the good work.
Yes, Kirsty was much too annoyed about... I agree, she was totally much too annoyed about Tom. And there's that... You know, hate and love being very, very similar, and what kills things is indifference, just kind of, you know, well, whatever, I'm not really bothered. That's when you know that you're over somebody. Mm. And she's so not over him. Mm. She really isn't.
What do you think Kirsty actually really sees in Tom?
I think...
Because I tell you, you know, we've talked about chemistry before between girls. They have something,
yeah.
And but I'm wondering if it isn't just really just the fact they share a past, but I really do get the sense that they are a couple, and I believe it in a way that Rex and Anisha makes no sense.
Yeah, no. I think they see the world in the same way, and although Tom is Kirsty's, but yeah, I mean Tom and Kirsty, I mean,
yeah, I know, and I'm saying, do they?
Well, although. Kirsty's very idealistic and Tom's more commercially minded and sees things as a business. Ultimately, he did start off with Kirsty as a sort of little eco warrior, didn't he?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's the more they've shared a history and like an ethical kind of history.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I see them much more as kind of yin and yang complementary. In that way, because he is all about like the bottom line and spreadsheets, etc.
Not all about, because there are ways he could have just really really trashed the brand and just gone for, you know, cheap sales rather than, but he has genuinely tried to think about quality and provenance and all that stuff, hasn't he? He's not that bad.
Do you think he's just killer in bed?
Oh God, I can't imagine. Bert, I think Bert Fry would be more killer in bed than Tom. I can't imagine. I just, you know, there are some people you meet and you just think, nope, can't ever see it. I don't mean, you know, with you, just with anybody. Nope. Antisexual. I just think of Tom as completely antisexual.
But I would contend, right, that the majority of the men in the Archers that seem a bit like Tom.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Tobes has got to have some moves, right? And then Jazza, right? But other than that, who do you think is a secret bad man in the bedroom department?
David.
Really? So you wish.
I haven't thought about it a lot or anything, but Tony, imagine that. No. Imagine the noises Tony would make. He makes enough strange noises in conversation.
I tell you, I actually think Justin Elliott could find his way around a four-poster bed, I reckon.
You think?
Yeah. Thinking about it, Justin Elliott, yeah.
Yeah. Who else? Well, you see, old Lavinia's made me think twice about Alistair. No, not Neil. I can't see that at all, despite the chili.
Yeah, no, they're going to be very perfunctory, them pair, aren't they?
Chris Carter.
Yes. No, I'll give you Chris. I'll give you Chris.
Thank you very much. I'd like you boiled and sent to my room. Thank you.
Where were we? Where were we?
No idea. Dumpty Dum siblings. Sheila and Bernie want Dumpty Dum siblings. We've got so many different Dumpty Dum groups now. I can't see the problem with having Dumpty Dum siblings. Why the hell not? I think it may consist of you two, as I don't know any other siblings who listen. If you're a sibling and listen, get in touch with Sheila and Bernie Maguire.
Yes. Yeah. What do we call them? The Order of Shula and Kenton or something or another.
Yes. Mm. Ugh, that sounds a bit creepy. Though, Kenton would be terrible in the sack. Can you imagine? He'd have to put that bloody megaphone down for a start.
You know what, though, right? I think Kenton would be rather enthusiastic, though. He's going to be very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10 out of 10 for effort, but you'd be like, oh, calm down. It would be, yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah.
Talking about siblings, yet again, we've seen another layer to Lily and Freddie, aren't we?
We need to do Witherspoon for that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, then Witherspoon. Lucy, let's go to New York.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Yoko Bear, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon without Angus Haggis here, as I'm in Florida visiting my mom. Now, my mom is a very anxious person, so I and the rest of the family decided not to tell her about my recent heart woes. So keeping her in the dark is kind of like what Brian tried to do with Kate. Secrets and Lies, Secrets and Lies, one of my favorite Mike Leigh films, but it also summed up this week in Ambridge. Besides the Aldridges, there were also those wacky Pargeter twins. You know that Freddie is going to get himself into some deep doo-doo unless there's an intervention. Lily was genuinely hurt when she found out about Freddie's secret life, and I understand her frustration and concern. Her threat to tell their mother is out of a true desire to help Freddie. But Freddie's return volley to tell mother and others about Lily's relationship is just a desperate attempt to protect his drug-dealing business and, of course, the fear of his mother's anger and disappointment. You know this ain't going to end up well, but the story is just getting good. And you want more secrets? How about Anisha? What's this all about except to write out two characters in a money-saving move? Anisha, who is strong and independent, is the type of person who would want to have the control of owning a business. She appeared happy in her work and in the partnership with Alistair. So why would she give it up to become an employee at this young stage of her career, no matter what the outfit is? And of course, there's also the legal and financial connections of a partnership that must get untangled. Nope, it just doesn't make sense. So after what I thought was a rather flat previous week, we had some great twists this week, with the promise of more to come. Talk to y'all soon.
Oh, Witherspoon, I'm so glad, A, that you called in and you're still sounding so well, and we all won't tell your mum, don't worry. And I'm so glad that you said Secrets and Lies was your favourite Mike Lee film. It was really weird because I was talking about that to my son yesterday, trying to explain to him how Mike Lee does that immersive process of with his actors and everything, and how Brenda Blethyn was in the supermarket. He'd sent her shopping as the lady from Secrets and Lies, and while she was in there, she thought, "Oh, I've actually run out of cat food at home, so I'll get some." So she picked up a can of Whiskers, and he suddenly popped up from behind the deep freeze and shouted, "You don't have a cat!" And she put it back hurriedly. Anyway, and also I love the way she goes, Brenda Blethyn says, "Sweetheart." I say that to the children sometimes to annoy them. "All right, sweetheart." Anyway, twins.
I always thought Rita Sue and Bob 2 was Mike Lee, but of course it isn't. No. But it's too happy.
Yes.
It's too sunny and upbeat. But in my head, that was a Mike Lee film. How wrong I was. I've always been wrong about that. I always think Mike Lee did that, but no. Just saying. I was
this
up
is an occasional story. Series called Things Royfield's Got Wrong.
It's a long-running thing. Exactly, that's what it is, Lucy. Sorry, as you were, Mike Lee, Brenda Blethyn, go.
No, I've moved on now. The lovely Pargeter twins.
Mm-hmm.
I like this mutual blackmail. That's kind of... It's just really horrible. They've both got themselves in situations that they both think they can cope with and can't. They're both desperately trying to play down the significance of what they're doing to each other, while at the same time absolutely bricking it that the other one is going to tell their mum, which kind of highlights exactly the dichotomy of being the age that they are, which is your heart makes you feel that you are invincible, extremely grown up and a genius, and no one has ever seen the world in the marvelous way you do. And also being conscious at the back of your mind somewhere that you're actually a little pillock and you don't know shit from sugar. So, you know, it's a really lovely setup. But it's really hard to listen. It's nasty to listen to because they're both such pillocks and they should be helping each other, not trying to destroy each other. It's not very nice to hear.
Mm. Yes. But they're kind of come at their pillockness from very different angles. Mm. That Lynn is kind of socially assured and has academic
Well, the problem
smarts,
is Freddie thinks he's thicker than he actually is, and yes. Lily thinks she's cleverer than she actually is.
Exactly where I was going, and you just crystallised where I was going to meander to pithily in one line. Well done, as always. putting me in my place and telling me what I was thinking.
There you go, listeners. That's 10 minutes you've got back. You don't need to thank me.
So, Witherspoon, done all of that. What else, Lucy? What else?
That's it, I think.
Good. Grief, that seems way too fast.
There we are. We're getting quicker at this. Do you reckon we're getting the hang of it?
You know what? It's not by accident that these episodes have got quicker on World Cup days.
I know. I've noticed. I'll be talking to myself next week if we get through to the semi-finals or whatever it is.
Yeah, it'll be the quarters. But yes, lots of cars in Canada. With flags on, it's all rather lovely and exciting. And come on, the boys. But first, we should have a little break.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Things That Made England. I'm Roy Phil Brown, and with me I have...
David Crowther of The History of England.
It was the best of time. It was the worst of time.
She was the people's princess.
We shall fight on the beaches.
Oh, wait, man. These are the things that made England.
We shall fight on the landing ground.
These are the things that made England.
I have the body, but of a weak and feeble woman.
These are the things that made England.
And a king of England, too.
These are the things that made England.
Cry God for Harry!
And these are the things that made England.
England! And St. George!
These are the things that made England.
It gives wind in Churchill's sails to say we can continue to fight on.
Well, there cannot be many more famous events in English history than 1066. It hurts, even now.
Because 1066 is important.
Yeah.
But there's aspects of modern British culture which I think get overlooked. So I'm proposing that this week we do Scar.
For me, the English flag has in the past certainly become associated with factionalism and, well, hideous racist and far-right views. And it's turned into a thing of disunity and almost xenophobia.
The idea of this show is to decide on what things that make England...
as she is, the country that, despite it all, we feel lucky to be part of.
Every week, one of us, that is David and I, will pitch an idea to the other to be designated as one of the things that makes England distinctive.
Go and join our shiny new Facebook site where once a month we will post a poll where, should you so desire, you can make your own very suggestions for applications to the I Made England Award. So, without more ado, let's do it.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Yokel Bear here with the social media roundup for the week. And it's hot. You may hear a fan going in the background. That's because it's so hot today. It's hotter than Neil and Susan's bedroom on Chili Con Carne night. That's how hot it is. And I'm such an English flower, I just wilt in the heat. Anyway, let's see what I can do with the social media roundup. We started the week talking about Jazza. I posted that I felt a little bit sorry for Jazza because Tom, Josh, Harrison, they're all moving on in their lives, but Jazza seems a little bit stuck. And I love Jazza. I think everyone loves Jazza. Jean Bell says that she agreed and feels that Jazza is now wanting to move on from his Jack the Lad days. And that she was sad when he mentioned the plastic-free wedding because he'll always hold a torch for Fallon. Yeah. Do you know what? This is a message to the scriptwriters. Can we have a bit of a love interest for Jazza? Because I think he would be brilliant. I mean, if he met someone, he'd just adore her, wouldn't he? That's going to be so sweet to listen to. So please, scriptwriters, give Jazza a break. But also as well, Elizabeth Byrne said, Jazza needs a stable girlfriend. Yes, like I just said, he's a lovely man, but the scriptwriters are as likely to allow that as to allow the Grundy's good fortune. Yeah, but I don't know, maybe we should, you know, let's put pressure on scriptwriters. Give Jazza some love. What else did we talk about? Oh, yes, there was a plot prediction floated, which is, what if the bouncy castle incident, which I really don't want to think about. I really don't want to think about the bouncy castle incident. But what if there's a pregnancy? Toby fathers another child in the village with Kate. Sue Hopkinson said, oh, I must admit it would be a good plot twist. And Megan Stott said, oh, that would make things interesting. Kelly Schroeder said, can't wait to hear Kate's doctor talk about her geriatric eggs. And Robert Dwyer Joyce said, well, it could be another baby choice for Ian and Adam if Plan A doesn't work out. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go down that road, to be honest with you. I think it would just get too complicated. Though it would be funny, wouldn't it? Imagine Toby finding out he's going to have two children. Can you imagine what Pip would say? It would be amazing. Our own Millie Bell posted something saying that she was confused about the whole Anisha thing. But, you know, she's got this job, but isn't she in partnership with Alistair? And, you know, wouldn't that tie up her money until she sells a part of the partnership? I'll be honest with you, I was a bit confused with this. And a lot of people posting that they were a bit confused as well. I think Ruth M. Price got to part of the heart of the matter. We said it didn't make sense to me either. I thought Anisha had bought into the practice with Alistair releasing equity for St. Shula to become the master of the hunt. Yeah, and I thought that was it. And it's just like, how is she going to kind of extricate her? Tori Eames Matthews said, I'm not sure about how I feel about her taking Rex with her either. Yeah, who's going to look after the pigs? That's what I want to know. But of course, you know, I've got to quite like Rex recently. Don't like Toby, obviously. But Rex is growing on me a little bit. I don't want to see Rex go, actually. A lot of people were really confused about this. Hayley Stock, I think, summed up a lot of things for me. We said, my feelings are that it's a poorly thought out device to heap more misery on Alistair. Perhaps the next time we hear from him, he'll be rolling in from a night at the casino. Yes, I think this is what this thing's all about. It's about really kind of putting Alistair through the mill and seeing how he comes out the other side. The other thing that we talked about this week was Kate. Yes, Kate. I've had a bit of a Road of Damascus conversion with Kate. I've always found her really annoying, but by the end of the week, I was punching the air going, yes, go Kate. I think she outmaneuvered Brian. Now, we posted something on this, and there was a lot of thoughts on this. Denise Ann Smallwood said, I think the partnership should take out a loan on the farm for the cleanup and to buy Kate out. Since she didn't purchase the land Spiritual Home sits on, and the value of its goodwill probably isn't worth much to Kate, Kate might get a wake-up call. Also as well, Joanne Smith and a lot of other people said, we don't understand how the house is considered part of the business assets. You know, that seems a bit odd, doesn't it? However, Laura Jackson, and I kind of agree with this as well, Laura Jackson said, congratulations to Kate for finally getting her family members to sit up and actually listen to her. There is more than one way to pay the cleanup expenses, not just Brian's way. Yeah, and I think that's it. Brian's been pushing all this through as if he knows what the best way forward is. And let's face it, this is all his fault. He made a terrible, terrible decision years ago. So why do we assume that he's making good decisions now? I think also Rupert Brunn, this made me laugh out loud. I still don't understand why Spiritual Home can't just move to another part of the farm. It's just a few tents. I've got a feeling that Kate would have something to say about that. But Megan Eliza Stott also said, this summed up me as well, which it was a highly entertaining conversation. She listened to it with wine in hand, responding with oohs, etc. Yeah, so did I. It was just like, I absolutely loved that meeting. I thought the script writing was brilliant. I absolutely loved Alice's petulant outrage. I love the fact that Brian really struggled with the whole meeting. And I also like the fact that I think Ruth was being a bit mischievous there as well. So that's really the kind of week in on the social media. Also as well, we had a Saturday non-archers post, which is worth reading. Witherspoon asked, how are you staying cool during these very hot early summer days on both sides of the Atlantic? And there's some really interesting posts there. Anyway, that's me done for the week. Let's see what happens this coming week. The fall of the House of Aldridge continues apace. All right, that's me done. Bye.
Thank you for that, Yokel Bear. as always. Oh, and we, you know what, Liz? We are really close to having our 2,000th member of our Facebook group. So, and that is all down to sterling work that Millie Bell, Witherspoon, and Yokel Bear do. And you know what they do every Saturday, Lucy?
What do who do? Who does what do? What?
The three individuals I was just referring to.
Yes.
What Witherspoon does every Saturday is he has a little diversion and he puts a post which is nothing to do with the archers, and that is rather popular too. So they're doing great things on there. Yeah, great things. And keep it up, everybody. Keep it up. Now, Lucy, tweet of the last 7 days. Thank you.
Okay. Number one is from Kerry Warbis, who was listening to Phoebe. Ooh, and
got a new airdo. I saw on the Twitters.
Yes. She was listening to Phoebe and Jennifer pissing around in the yurts, and she said, stripping a bed takes two middle class women but one working class woman, hashtag fact. Madden Crowd said, pretty delighted with how this omnibus is turning into Dallas. All we need now is for Kate to discover oil under the yurts. Gareth said, what Pat doesn't realise is that Olwyn was a deep cover agent paid by rival property developers to ensure that Justin is emotionally blackmailed into overspending on the new houses. Nobody can find Olwyn because she's living it up in the Caymans. Matt Underwood said, anyone else think Linda was going to ask Freddie to supply meth for the fate? My God, if any occasion needed meth, that bloody fate is it. And tweet of the week. It's John Featenby. This is kind of just a general life archer's comment, which I feel we can all get behind in these times. He says, I am recruiting a group of the UK's mightiest heroes to see us through these difficult times. Currently, it consists of Mary Beard, Danny Dyer and Jazza McCreary.
Oh, that is good. That is actually quite good. So I take it you saw that little clip of Danny Dyer talking about Brexit.
I didn't need to see it because I heard so many people impersonating it for the next 3 hours, just going twat. But yes, I really didn't need it.
Right, folks, it's the most important part of the show. It's Map Corner. However, before Lucy runs off, right, there's only two entries of note. And this one, Lucy, is actually really for you. It was given to me by the wonderful Claire Asprey. And she says, oh, this looks interesting. Though Roy thought you'll probably be out of the country and you're not female. But something to look out for, I suspect. This is for you, Lucy. It's Map Camp, right?
I saw it.
Yes. Tickets, £20. It's to get women into maps. Huh. Awesome. So
I would need WD-40, Rufus Sewell in the nude, and a large check to get me into maps, but anyway.
Well, I tell you what, right? I can't supply either of those, but what I can do is buy you a ticket, right? I've got your address. I'll send it to you. You've got to go. You're not doing anything on the 3rd of October. I know you're not.
I am.
What?
I'm shitting myself about the live event in Birmingham.
But, folks, this is actually a map of the week. And keep the maps coming. And just do hashtag Map Corner on the Twitters. And you can go there and have a look at all the wonderful maps. We've had pirate maps. We've had maps about language, maps about cheese all over Europe. Wonderful maps we've had about the last 2 months. But this is a map /app of the week. And it's radio.com. So that's radio with 5 O's.com. And Luce, it's wonderful. And you'd really like this because what it is, big map of the world, really good illustration of the world. You just go to radio.com. Remember, there's 5 O's in radio. Europe.com, and you can click on any country and it plays music from that country, and you can pick the decade. You can go, oh, I want like 1940s America, to get lots of big band and swing stuff. Or you can go, I want 1990s Russia, and it just plays music and it's awesome. So radio.com. So thank you, Nissi Pope 73, for your map app of the week. That was most excellent. Now, Luce, we're going to have to do some work on www.com because there's some jiggery pokery going on. I've got a message from...
It's not the Russians again, is it?
Well, it's...
Oh, no.
It's the Viagra posse this time. But Ooh. I don't... Yeah. Mm. You sounded excited.
No, I just thought they'd messed up your order, that's all.
You felt like somebody had poked you with their Viagra stick where you went, oh! I got a message from a listener this morning saying there's Viagra all over Dum-de-dum. And
sorry.
And then I looked at it and my dum-de-dum.com me was fine. But then I got another email saying there was Viagra all over it. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe their partners have been searching for stuff, and you know when you search, I don't know. Anyway, moving swiftly on, but I've got to have a look at it. Don't get anybody into trouble. Sorry. That's dumbydum.com. It needs a looking at, maybe, probably, or just check your cookies on your own browser. I don't know. Then what else? Oh, that's it. Patreon, go.
Oh, that's gone off the script.
Make it up.
Please will you sponsor us at patreon.com. This allows you to have exclusive access to all the interesting interviews that Royfield does and won't let me do. So it's definitely worth the money.
What are you talking about? When have I said you can't interview Harrison? You've been telling me to say,
oh, yes,
Harrison in the bag.
I've been trying to do that for weeks, haven't I? Months.
Mm. Yes.
I've just tried to Sounds text him, and I've actually lucky. I've just put harassment into my phone. It's not his name.
Get him done, woman.
Yes.
Right. Now, folks, this show would only be Lucy and I prattling if it wasn't for you and your calls. We need your calls. So to get onto the show, you can voice message us by SpeakPipe on our website if you can dodge the Viagra messages, or you can call us on 02030313105. Yeah, and give if you don't want to give some more money to Pfizer. Anyway, so that's how you get in contact with us. And of course, on the Twitters, because that's really where the show all came about. It came about via Twitter. You can find Lucy and I at dumdydum. Lucy is at...
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield. And then Facebook, that other pillar of dum-de-dum goings on. If you go onto the Book of Face, you can quite simply type in dum-de-dum, and maybe you can become the 2000th dum-de-dum Facebook member. And if you are the 2000th dum-de-dum member, there'll be all manner of cake and bunting, which will descend out of nowhere for you, as if by magic. Lucy.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. This is the part of the show where we can just like prattle on for a couple of minutes, because according to this, we've only done 37 minutes worth of record time. Now, that will be bumped up somewhat when we put dum-de-dums on, Royfield Brand Productions.
And we take out all the calls. Crap.
What crap? This has been a real lean show, Lucy. This has been all meat. There's no flab in this recording so far. So it will be bumped up. But I reckon you should give us some of your wit and wisdom for 2 minutes. Go.
No, I haven't got any. And I want to go and have my lunch, please.
All right, cool. And the footy is probably just about to start. So, on that note, right, I'm going to say goodbye, listener. And I'm really sorry if you feel slightly shortchanged that this has been a bit of a short show. But what you can do is actually go on to patreon.com, as we said before, and then download the interview with Kerry Davis, which is rather long. And Kerry Davis says, bloody hell, Royfield, that was very long. And it's kind of in depth, and that's what we do. So if you want more dum-de-dum action, go do that. And come on, the boys, let's stuff Colombia. The World Cup's coming home. There you go.